So grateful to God for all the talents and the beauty that our choir and orchestra bring to us. You may not know it, but they've been practicing for weeks. And getting here this morning, I think sometime around 7:30, and preparing to bless us. And most of all, to glorify God with these selections from Bach. So on behalf of the congregation, thank you for being with us and for all that you do to dedicate yourself to the service of our Lord. You can keep your cantata bulletin open, and there you'll find Luke chapter 2. It's where the message will come from this morning. Danny has already read the passage for us. It is familiar, I trust, to all of us. It's basically the story of the birth of our Lord. And I very simply this morning want to ask three questions. Three questions that I believe this passage begs. The first one is this: who or what really counts in life? Who or what really counts in life? The second one is, who really cares? Who really cares? And the third question is, why should I come to Jesus? Let's pray as we study for a few moments together. Heavenly Father, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, Father, I pray that you would speak to us in these moments of eternal things. Save those who are lost, sanctify those who are saved. Get all the praise and glory and honor for all that we do as we study your word together. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I think these are important questions, and perhaps questions that all of us ask at some time or another in our life. Who or what really counts in life? I get that question from the first seven verses. You'll notice that Jesus was born in the midst of a global census. Caesar Augustus issued a decree for as much, and everyone had to register or be counted at their hometown or city or village. And so there were scores of people traveling as pilgrims to their homes and towns to be counted. This was a time characterized by government bureaucracy and confusion, overcrowded cities, inadequate housing, and poor living conditions. You know, we do a census here in the United States every 10 years. I remember the last one, I believe in 2010, when they passed out forms and I had people come to my door, perhaps your door as well, making sure that we counted everyone. Has everyone been accounted for? Yes. Husband, wife, kids, what about the dog? No, we won't count the dog. Everyone had to be counted. And so Joseph left Nazareth of Galilee to the province of Judah, and he went to the town of Bethlehem. And Luke tells us because there was no room in the inn, they ended up in a cow stable. Joseph and his wife Mary, who was pregnant, no room in the inn. You know, I think it's significant that the context of Christmas, the first Christmas, this Christmas, was very mundane. There was no Christmas tree. There were no lights. There was no commerce. There were no gifts at this point. Just a filthy, dirty cattle stall. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was born in that stall in the midst of this global census. You know, we get all kinds of information from census, from the Census Bureau every 10 years. And we count. We Americans probably count more than anybody else in human history. And when I say count, what I mean by that is we count heads, we count noses, we count nickels. We value certain things. We put a premium on things that in our minds count. Like our looks, our social status, our education level, our level of intelligence, where we live, what we drive, how many gadgets we have. We count things as important. But Luke chapter 2 makes it clear that the only thing that truly counts is not what men and women do or what they consider to be a priority, but what really counts is the true and living God, the sovereign Lord of the universe, and what He is doing in human history and in your life personally. That is what ultimately counts. Did you notice the Old Testament reading this morning where David prayed and he expressed a desire to build God a house? And God came back and said, as He usually does, as He turns everything on top of its head, "You will not build me a house, David. I am the one by my grace and mercy who will build you an enduring kingdom." We always think about what we can do for God. But God comes back and says, "No, you really can't do anything for me. It is I who must act on your behalf by my grace and mercy." And many have a time in life, especially around Christmas, where they say, "Does my life count? What counts the most in your life?" May you say this morning, "I don't feel like my life counts at all." Well, you can be sure. Take this away this Christmas. Take care to avoid missing the meaning and the message of Christmas due to all the busyness of life on earth. Take care that you don't listen to the world system that says this person or this thing, this material object, is what truly counts in life. Because on this first Christmas, that which counted the most, that God would invade human history in the Lord Jesus, is made manifestly known. Don't be too wrapped up in what the world counts as important to the point where you miss what is truly important indeed. Yes, you count. I count. And that leads to the second question, who really cares? If my life does count, and that led to the incarnation, that God Almighty would send His Son to be a babe in the manger, what does that say? Well, the news of the message in this passage begs this question. Who really cares? Because you see this in verses 8 through 14. Luke introduces some unlikely recipients of the announcement of Jesus' birth. The shepherds. Shepherds were lowly individuals. Jews didn't like shepherds. Egyptians didn't like shepherds. Everybody hated the shepherds. They took care of smelly, dumb animals, the sheep. And they were considered very, very low on the social totem pole. But you'll notice the angel appears, and he appears to the shepherds. And then he gives this very brief but very poignant message. And I believe it encapsulates the message of Christmas in verses 10 and 11. He says, first of all, don't be afraid. There's no need to fear. And secondly, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. You'll notice the good news is both personal and universal. I bring you good news, but it'll be for all the people. Only God could do something like that. Make something so beautiful and so lovely as the Lord Jesus coming to earth. Make it personal and yet global and universal at the same time. And so there's no need for insecurity or feeling overlooked or left out. And then he goes on in verse 11. Who is this person? A Savior has been born to you. The very term Savior points to the fundamental reason or content of the Advent season. Jesus came to save a people from their sin. That's what Christianity is all about. Forgiveness of sin. We have to be aware of our sin to see our need for a Savior. And that's the very name given to the Lord Jesus. Jesus, Yeshua, the one who identifies with me in my need. But the angel goes on to say also, He is Christ the Lord. Same person, Jesus, who is the Savior, who would be born in a cattle stall and humble Himself to the point of death on a cross is also the reigning, ruling, sovereign Lord of the universe. He is two natures in one man. That's why he is peerless above all other would-be saviors, over all other religious figures throughout human history. No one stands in the same company as the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on in verse 12 and saying, this will be a sign for you. You'll find the babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. In other words, the angel was saying the reality of this message is not hidden. It's not difficult to find. It's not complicated. Just go to the child. So often we mess up Christmas. The world does a great job of that. We try to find a place of quiet and a place of comfort, a place to think about things, and it's hard to do. I went to McDonald's yesterday morning at 5 a.m. when they opened the restaurant, and I figured it'd be quiet. Nobody would be in there. I'd get a cup of coffee and sit and read and pray. But then they play this Christmas music on the loudspeaker, you know, and it's so silly. Worlds away from what we heard this morning. Music about Mrs. Claus, and I want a hippo for Christmas. Go figure. We do everything we can to enjoy this date during the year. And at the same time, we do everything we can to divert our attention away from the central mystery of this day in the year. And that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And that's why in verses 13 and 14, we have a great company of the heavenly host appearing with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, on whom his favor rests. As if all the other aforementioned things were not enough, scores of angels appear and begin praising God. Now let me summarize the message. Don't be afraid. There's good news for you and everyone else. We all need a Savior to rescue us from our sins. And Almighty God has made provision for that in the person and work of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And finally, this Savior and this Lord is not hiding from you. Let me give you directions as to how to find him. It's really a summary of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, that is, trusts, might not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Lord God singled out these shepherds as a target, as a resting place for his sovereign grace. Who cares? God cares. And he cared so much that he came to these lowly shepherds and furnished them with something akin to what we had this morning, but infinitely greater, with a host of heaven singing and making known to these lowly shepherds, I am favoring you with my grace. I am opening your eyes to the reality of the Christ. I am going to become personally involved in your life and save you from your sin and give you the gift of forgiveness and change your heart that you might be inclined to me. I love the words of 1 Corinthians 1 which come to mind. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, that no one may boast before him. By his doing, you are in Christ Jesus. The greatest gift that God could ever give is to open our hearts, open our minds, so that we stop and we listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit saying, this is what is of utmost importance. Your relationship to the living God by faith in Jesus Christ. Who cares? God cares. And He cares about you personally. He would have you to hear the message this morning. Well, finally, the last question, why should I come to Jesus? And I think we see this reality in verses 15 through 20. When I study the shepherds, when I study Mary, the text goes on and talks about the shepherds. After the angels depart, the shepherds make up their minds to go and investigate all this good news told to them by the angel. And in verse 16, the shepherds find the Lord Jesus. In verse 17 and 18, they are overjoyed. And they spread the word about Jesus. And then in verse 20, they come back and they say, let's glorify God. Let's praise God for all the things that we have seen and heard. Their life has been changed. The zeal and the motivation to share, as well as the joy over the Savior's birth, were all based upon the revelation offered to them by the angels. Now let me ask you a question. Be serious, please. Has my life been changed? Is there joy in my heart? Because I know I have been forgiven of my sins. Because I have a clear conscience. And I stand, as Jude says, faultless before the throne of God. I don't worry about dying. I don't worry about being judged by Almighty God because I am clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who was born for me and who died for me some 30 years later, that my sin might be paid for. See, the shepherd's response and reaction should be our response and reaction. We should be led to seek and to find Jesus, to tell others about Him, and to spend a lifetime glorifying Him and praising Him. But so often we spend our time and our energies in other places. Even as Christians, we do that, don't we? We get off track. We don't have that rich daily communion with our Lord that we should. And we wonder why our hearts wander. Well, the shepherds demonstrate the joy that is found in Jesus. You know, joy is very different than happiness. Happiness is dependent upon circumstances. If my bank account is large, if my stomach is full, if I have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, if somebody on earth loves me, then I am happy. But when those things are not present, when they're not there, so many people are very, very sad. That's why so many commit suicide around this time of the year. That's why so many drink so much. To dull the pain during this time of the year. Well, the shepherds communicate to all of us, why should I come to Jesus? Because He is the only source, not only of salvation and forgiveness of sins, but of genuine joy down deep inside. A sense of contentment and satisfaction that you cannot manufacture. And that nothing in this world and no one in this world can offer to you. Only Jesus, but also a sense of peace. I love verse 19. To me, this is one of the most important verses in all of Christmas. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Every time I read that verse, I just want to lay down. I want to take a nap because it's so peaceful. It's in contrast to the shepherds. The shepherds are filled with joy. The shepherds active, proactive in the news about Jesus. But here is Mary, just the opposite. She sits quietly and ponders. And she calls it a treasure. She treasures these things in her heart. What's the point, Pastor? The point is this. There's a time to seek and a time to find and a time to rejoice. There's a time to be proactive and to move forward. But there's equally a time to be quiet and contemplative and to reflect. And folks, as you look around this Christmas season, you know it's true. Most people can't sit still, hardly for a moment. We have to be doing something. We have to be reading something. Half the time, I can't even go to bed without my cell phone these days. You know? Texting and pictures and that sort of thing. It's hard to be quiet. It's hard to sit and truly treasure the fact that you are valued, that your life counts, and that God loves you before the foundation of the world and sent His Son to be born for you in a dirty, filthy cow stable, and then to live a perfect life on your behalf, which you could never live and I could never live, and then to die for our sins. That's why the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God." There's a lot of terrible things that happen in this world. Some of us have loved ones that are dying of cancer. Some of us fear going out in the daytime for somebody might shoot at school or at work. Just yesterday in New York City, two police officers shot in their patrol car. This world is filled with the effects of sin. There is hatred and violence and terror. We could all live with that sense of what's going to happen next. When is the other shoe going to fall? But you don't have to live that way. As the Apostle Paul said, as he pondered the things of God, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And he meant it. There was a reality of the communion with Jesus that was present in the Apostle Paul's life and mind and heart continuously. I want that. I want it every day. I want it every moment. The shepherds demonstrate a public, joyful celebration inherent in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mary represents that quiet, personal contemplation of the treasure that every believer has when we trust the Lord Jesus and we turn from our sin and turn toward Him as the object of our faith and walk with Him in peace every day. I hope and I pray that you enjoy that kind of Christmas this year. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that whatever our questions are, no matter how deep and how much they may plague us, remind us this year that we count so much, that you love sinners. Lord, refresh our memory that you came to give us a message that is not frivolous, not complicated, and not hidden. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Father, I pray that we would respond with joy and with peace because we too have repented of our sins and have turned to the only one who can save us, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even the Lord Jesus Himself. Lord, if that is not the case in any life here today, I pray that your Holy Spirit would target that individual, that family, that they would be born from above gloriously, supernaturally, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, the rest of us, help us to focus on the treasure that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ this Advent season and all throughout the year. We make our prayer in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.